Hello, friends. Welcome to episode 6 of the New England Camp Podcast. It's conference season in the camp world, so we decided to catch up with the co-chairs of the New England Camp Conference Committee, Sarah and Terry. We talk about their camp stories, their conference stories, and ultimately, what to look forward to in 2023 at the New England Camp Conference. Enjoy the show. Yeah, we're going to start with Terry then. So Terry, why is that? Where are you? Why don't you tell everybody your name, social security number? No, just how would you introduce yourself? You walk up to a campfire, there's a bunch of people around. How would you introduce yourself and what is your camp? We'll go to camp story next. We'll do introductions both sides. First, I want to hear it. Terry, give us your introduction real quick.
So I'm Terry Malks. I am the director of Camp Susan Curtis here in beautiful Maine, where we are in the midst of a rather large winter storm. That's where I'm at right now while looking at Sarah, who's in a beautiful warm place.
That is a perfect transition to our second guest, number one in our guest book, two in the heart. I don't know what it goes. Sarah, where are you? Where are you now? Who are you? And where do you actually work when you're not where you are now?
Yeah. So I'm Sarah Cunningham Castro. I'm the camp director at YMCA Camp Dakota, which is in Richmond, New Hampshire. And I am currently in Orlando, Florida at ACA Nationals Conference. And I'm so sorry that it's snowing for you all, but it's like gorgeous here. I was just at the pool. It's sunny. I love it. It's great here.
Well, that's ironic because we're here to talk about conference. It is conference season. But before we get into conference, because if you haven't caught on by now, Terry and Sarah, if you haven't seen the emails or seen their names anywhere, they're the co-chairs of the New England Camp Conference this year. And it's an exciting time for us in the story arc of all things camp, but especially the conference. And so we're going to talk to them today a little bit about their conference story, a little bit about something, you know, stuff to look forward to this year, or maybe some changes or new things. But before we do that, who are we actually talking to? We need stories. We need to know who these humans are. So we started with Terry on the introduction. So I'm going to invert it. I'm going to pass it back over to Sarah and ask Sarah real quick. We don't have to be real quick about this. We're friends. What's your, like, cause I've worked with you. I've talked to you. We've exchanged emails. We've been in the same room multiple times, but what's your camp story? Like what's your background in camping from, you know, Did you go to camp? Did you work at camp? And how are you where you are now?
Yeah, so I did go to camp. I'm a camp kid through and through. So I grew up going to summer camp, to the camp that I'm the director of now, which I'll get to in a little bit. But I started going to camp when I was 10, and I got roped into it by a friend, and I hated my first year. It was awful. I cried the whole time, and somehow somebody convinced me to go back. I think I had fun. I just missed home. And the next year I went and I cried a little less. And then I was hooked. It was so fun. I made so many friends. I stayed forever. They tried to kick me out. And then when I was, you know, I worked all the way through college, did all the jobs like so many camp people do. And after college, the director called me and said, "Hey, do you want to come and work for us again?" And I was like, yeah, I don't have a job. Sweet. I can work at camp all year round. And I kind of fell in love with the industry. I think it opened my eyes to camp could be more than just this place. And so I started working for Dakota year round. And then I said, you know, I should probably venture out. And I worked at some other camps. And I just recently came back to Dakota as their director about a year ago. And it is the best job. I think it's so fun. I love being in camp. Obviously, I'm preaching to the choir right now, but that's kind of my camp story. I grew up there and I haven't left and I'm not leaving yet.
I love that. You graduated. It's like, you want to come back? Didn't you all just try to get rid of me? But yeah, sure. I'd love to come back. Absolutely. It's kind of like sending your kid out into the world before you let them come back and work at the family business. It's like, you need to go earn your chops elsewhere. Terry, you are up in Maine, Susan Curtis, and Camp Susan Curtis. I said that correctly, right?
You did.
Because full disclosure, when I visited the camp or toured, I'm not an ACA visitor. When I toured the camp a couple years ago, I kept on saying Susan B. Curtis. And you were so gracious. You did not correct me once. And it wasn't until we got like to the dining hall that I looked up and I was like, there's no B. And you're like, you're not the only Susan B. Anthony. Like, I'm guessing a lot of people do.
Right. It's a very common mistake, but Susan is actually an L. Her middle name is the same as mine, Lee.
All right, Susan, Lisa, start from the top. How did you get to be, were you a camper ever, whether it was here, there, or there? How did you get to where you are? What's your camp story?
No, very different than Sarah's story. I was never a camper. I don't think I even realized that was a thing. I grew up in upstate New York. We spent all of our time outside. Nobody went away or did things like that. But when I went to college, I sort of got a taste of that freedom of being away from home. And so I didn't want to go back home for the summer, and was talking to some people in my dorm. And one of my friends was just like, oh, I'm going to go be a camp counselor at this camp I went to as a kid. And I was like, oh, well, I don't think they would hire me because I don't know anything about this. But the wonderful and fabulous Janice Learned from Camp Hazen YMCA came to my school and interviewed me. And so I went to camp that summer. And then, very similar to Sarah's story, I really didn't leave. So fell in love with it. My besties are still from there, even though it's like 30 years later. But had a great experience there, did a ton of different jobs, including being the director for 3 years. And then also fell in love with the Y. And so that had been my career. I had worked in Alabama. I had come back to Hazen and been the director. And then I went to Boston and did some time in Providence and then back to Boston. But my time in Alabama, Boston, and Providence was actually working with economically disadvantaged kids. And I really just found my passion there. Being able to introduce kids who didn't have these kinds of opportunities to a camp experience was incredible. And so when I saw the job posted in the ACA job listing, very handy for people to use, for Camp Susan Curtis, I was just like, oh, this camp sounds amazing because it's completely tuition free. And one of the parts of my job that I really never liked was having to ask families who don't have a lot of money for money. So I was just like, oh, that sounds amazing. But then realized it was in Maine and was kind of like, oh, I'm not going to move to Maine. Assured my husband I was not moving to Maine. And then came up here and interviewed for the position and went and saw a camp, and it was absolutely just stunningly gorgeous. And I was just like, called my husband on the way home and was just like, hey, if they offer this position, we are moving to Maine. So here we are.
I didn't know that you and I share that, where I never went to camp as a kid either. I pretty much got bullied / blackmailed by my sister to go work at a camp one summer after my freshman year. And I just never went back. I was like, what is this world?
It sucks you in, right? It's amazing.
And that's the beauty of it, though, is that like, it sucks you in where you are and when you're like ready for it.
Yeah.
I love that. It's so cool. Yeah.
And it'll be there for you if you need to come back. How many folks do we see throughout the years where maybe after a few summers, it could be 2 decades and somebody sends you an email like, hey, I was a camper as a kid here. And do you need volunteers? I mean, the camp community is one of those places where it's incredibly, incredibly tight knit, but incredibly welcoming. And I think that's something that we talk about now as camp professionals in the modern age of, we've known this and felt this on the inside, but not everybody on the outside has known and felt about it either. So how do we keep growing that inside and growing that bubble? And part of that is through things and opportunities like these conferences that we put on. We talked about Sarah's down at the national conference right now, but Sarah, is this your first time engaging with conferences and camping? I asked you for your camp story. Now, what is your camp conference story? Here, there, anywhere. It doesn't have to just be ours. Obviously, you'll be at ours at the end of March. If you're not signed up, go ahead, sign up. We got spots left. But before that, what led you to becoming a conference chair or co-chair?
Yeah, this is not my first camp conference. And I've been to a handful of them. My very first camp conference was ACA New England. And I was like a young seasonal staff, and the director pulled me in and said, hey, I think you have potential and I want you to learn more and see what this industry is all about, right? So many of us work at a camp and see just the summer part and are so in love with that. But there's this whole world, and like the curtain got pulled back for me at AC New England, where I was like, man, this is like the real deal. There's some stuff going on here. So I did that. I think this year is my 10th year going to ACA New England, which is fun. There's people who have been there way longer, but 10 years is like fun for me. I'm excited about it. Yeah, so I went to ACA New England, and that was primarily where I was going. I've been to some Y camp conferences, which are great and share a different perspective. This is my first time at ACA National, and it is very fun, and it's huge. And we were kind of talking about how it's kind of like universities. I went to like a small college that was like a little liberal arts college. Everyone knew each other. I feel like that's kind of how ACA New England is, and National is like a big state school where like
I went to the University of Georgia stuff. And I'm telling you right now, you are spot on, because now that I live in New England and I've gone to some of these schools that you're talking about with my former job, spot on.
It's so cool. And there's like, we need both, right? Like there's so much opportunity and people to meet and differences and things to do here. And it's been really eye-opening, and I'm so psyched for ACA New England now, because I'm excited to like come home with this energy and like talk to our people.
I love going last for that reason. I love being the finisher in the conference season. I think the arc works perfectly. Terry, what is your kind of like conference background before y'all, you know, were put volunteered for these positions?
Well, back in my Hazen days, was the first time I came to the ACA New England Conference. So dating myself significantly, that was back in the 90s. So I've been coming for a long time. I've also done Tri-State. I've gone to National. I've been a speaker at National. My time with ACA New England, you know, before I did this kind of volunteering, I was a speaker for years. And so I think I filled out an evaluation at the end of a conference probably like 7 or 8 years ago. And it was like, would you ever be interested in, you know, volunteering your time? And I was like, well, I'm already here, so why not? That has turned into this being co-chair this year, which is just an awesome, exciting way to continue to be a volunteer, but also continue to grow in the role. And I just can't wait. It's coming up. We're like a month out, so it's very exciting.
When we get off of this, I'm going to finish up a spreadsheet to share with Carrie and Michelle of here's all the things that we need to order tech wise. Here are the adapters that I think we need.
Right.
You know, I checked with Greg, our resident AV guru, and like said, hey, send me your notes before we put in this order to make sure that we've got everything that we could possibly have. And you both said something there about opportunities and taking advantage of them at these conferences. But something Sarah said before that really struck home, which is the conference pulled the curtain back for you. I talk a lot about camp. Half of my job is talking about camp. And when I talk to parents or I explain to them who we are and what we do, because a lot of times what I do is I talk to parents. They call me, they have random questions about a camp or camp in general. And I try to explain to them, because they don't understand. A lot of folks don't understand the other side of camp, the year-round side, where we need to hold on to the bubble. People need to think that camp is this cute, quaint, innocent place, which it is, that just kind of comes alive in the spring and then, you know, goes to sleep in the, no, it's a full year-round operation. It takes time, foresight, budgeting, practice, patience, but that's not on brand. On brand for us is, you know, fun, inviting, safe, but risky, you know, that kind of that balance that is struck between the two. And Sarah, I love that you said attending one of these conferences was kind of the way that you saw that. You saw kind of past the summer, past everything and into the full time. And then Terry, to your point, once you're there, you know, if you want to get involved, it's a great opportunity, because whether it's serving, attending, speaking, there's multiple ways to get involved in these conferences.
Well, that's so, what I was thinking about too with Terry. You like, I got involved the same way, right? I think I went to a conference and I was like, filled out a survey, and I must have put some sort of like, yeah, that could be cool.
Suckers.
And I think that I went to, I think I went alone or with like one other person, and I saw like, it's hard to meet people. It's awkward, especially after COVID. And this was before COVID, but I think I put down something so that I could get involved and meet other people. And for me, that was like a really easy way to like get more exposure and talk without having to feel awkward and vulnerable of like, my name's Sarah and I want to be your friend. And so it was really helpful, because like, I filled out this thing to volunteer and somebody was like, you can be a room host. And that was kind of like gave me this entry point into this like awesome group of people that I could work with and volunteer with. And then, you know, join the conference committee. I think the conference committee is so fun to be a part of because it's all of these incredible camp directors and industry people that we get to put on this cool thing. But I also have this community to check in with. And I call so many people from the conference committee or that I volunteered with, or I've met at the conference to say, hey, I know when we were last at conference, you were talking about how, you know, like you really loved your registration software. Can you like walk me through? Cause I'm struggling with that. Right. And so there's just this like community that you can pick from. And I don't think I would have gotten that if I didn't go to the conference or start volunteering or any of that for my journey.
I think it's so important because, you know, being a camp director or being involved in camp just in general, it's so unique, right? Like there's not a lot of other jobs where you are teaching, you are learning, you are a plumber, you work in the kitchen, you know how to wash dishes and plunge a toilet. And like to have a group of professionals where you're just like, oh, we all do those same things and be able to come together and really like talk about that in a way that makes you feel less alone sometimes in this world that we're living in is just incredible. And that's,
I think,
you know,
especially in New England, right? Like it's like
exactly
it's like so cold
home,
and
right?
Winter.
This is our homey little conference where we're just like, I know these people and I know what they do. And just what you were saying, Sarah, like I call people all the time or email to just be like, this is what I'm struggling with right now, and I know you've gone through the same thing. Like those connections they're so vital to everything that we do. And the conference has really opened, you know, it opens up so that you're not just with, like when I worked for the Y, I knew all my Y people, but like now I work for an independent nonprofit and I'm just like, well, now who are my people? But you can find them, you know, when you go to the conference. And I think that's just so awesome.
Connection is a word you both said several times in the last couple of minutes, making those connections. And I think in the 21st century, old man river over here in my day. No, but now that we do have Zoom, Teams, online life is so much more accessible. It's not replacing those connections. It's not replacing the conference in any, it's enhancing it. It's continuing it. Instead of waiting all year to see these people, you can be communicating all year to make that time together more valuable. And I know that that's what I will speak for them and let them know that let the folks know this conference committee meets monthly. They're talking constantly, and whether it's appropriate time or not. Like I'll see an email sometime in the middle of the summer, it'll say like, oh, so-and-so emailed from camp saying we should do this for the conference next year. I'm going, go back to your job. I mean, but that's the kind of dedication. It's a quasi addiction. And you set up this place for people to come together, exchange ideas, not be alone. And this year, especially this year, that kind of intentionality of belonging that's been put into the planning, things like, you know, kindred groups, affinity spaces, dedicated time for people to say like, all right, whether or not I know you, I know for a fact that we have this in common. So I'm going to use that as a step, as kind of a door to walk through to have this conversation and exchange some of these ideas. So before we talk about this year, I do want to ask you all just a couple of questions. Like, what's it look like for this year? What, you know, what's fun? I can't say what's fun. Everything's fun. The conference is fun, but what is new and what is foundational or whatever you all want to talk about. But there's one thing to add to Terry's list, to plumber and teacher and everything like that. CEO, accountant, you know, sales pitch, marketer, things that I talk to so many camp directors who say, I just want to work with kids. I just want to help young adults, you know, grow and take challenges. The real dirty work, quote unquote, for camp directors, a lot of times isn't pissy sheets and, you know, kids throwing up in the dining hall. It's budgets. It's finding insurance. It's getting trucks and vans for the summer. And so that's where places like the conference can become huge assets. Whether or not you walk away with something in hand, you're going to walk away with resources, connections. And to Sarah's point, you might all of a sudden 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 months later go, who was that person at the conference that said this? Because all of a sudden you are staring at that. So coming into 2023. Please.
Yeah. Something I didn't even realize until I like got more involved with the conference. And I was just reminded of it today because I was walking through the vendor hall and there's so much work that like the conference committee and ACA staff put into building relationships with vendors and companies that can help us with that, right? Like, I've had so many conversations with companies who their whole, right now I'm looking to get mattresses for camp. I need like a bunch of brand new mattresses. And, but all of our beds are different sizes. And I was thinking like, this is a big pain point for me. Like I'm stressed. I have a lot of stuff going on, right? Like we're all busy. I don't want to take the time to go measure all of them and order and do it. Like I would love if there was a company who could just like figure it out and work with me on it. And there is. And I have that connection because ACA like built a relationship with other companies who I can work with. And it sounds so sales pitchy, but it's so helpful. We are doing like all of these jobs and are budgeting and, you know, checking mattresses and ordering this thing and hiring staff and going there, that like, it takes this team. And I'm so glad that somebody else thought like, hey, let me like take some load off and help you out and do it.
Do y'all remember there was a commercial, I want to say it was the 80s or 90s, early 2000s, BASF, that company BASF. We don't make products. We make the products you buy better. Oh my gosh. This was a big sales campaign back in, I want to say early 2000s, but that was their whole product line. It was a company. It was basically, I think they were like consultants, but that's, and I thought about it, I was like, holy crud. That's what we do at ACA New England. You know, we don't actually run camps. We try to help camps run better. And that's kind of what that's part of that is through the conference. We recognize that, you know, the overwhelming majority, Terry, you nailed it. New England's it's densely populated with camps, ironically enough, but due to weather and time and constraints and all that kind of stuff, a lot of folks are on an island. And so, you know, we do see ourselves as kind of a glue, whether it's for some folks, it's a Y network. For other folks, it might be a church network. For other folks, they might work for, you know, Mass Audubon or some large grouping. Even those groups interact with us for what Sarah said, though, for perspective sometimes. Sometimes it's just to find out, how are other people doing it? Is there something we're missing? And, you know, and then there's the state associations that do magnificent work for the camps. And so that's why I always say, like, we are a community. And there's a new up in Maine, one of the camps that got sold, I guess it got bought, depending on which glass you're looking at, glass half full or half empty. It was purchased. Anyway, when I was talking to the new owners, they would say they were overwhelmed. They were blown away by, over the last year and a half, every single person that they've been recommended to talk to has been kind, helpful, and followed up. And I'm like, that's camp in a nutshell, but you really find that in New England. Because he's like, and I go, it's weird, right? Cause they're kind of competitors. Like, you know that they need the same thing, but it's not a trade secret. What we do in camping is foundational to the growth of young individuals. That's the foundation. Now it changes how we deliver it, the environment, the time, the tools, but some of those elements of taking risk, you know, feeling welcome, feeling like you belong, and you can knock yourself down and get back up. And back in the day, you might have gotten laughed at. Nowadays, everybody's just going to say, you can do it, or you want to do it again, or it's your turn. Let's go. It's a wonderful time to be in camping, and it's a wonderful time to be part of this conference, you know, season and team. So what is new-ish, or what are some of the things this year? I don't even care if it's new or not, because you know what, if we've been doing it for 100+ years and that's one of your favorite things, and you can talk about it, dadgummit, but no. Conference 2023 with the co-chairs of the New England Camp Conference, whoever wants to go first, I'm just curious, what are some of the things this year you're looking forward to?
Well, I think just going back to what you were talking about with camp directors wanting to connect with youth, one of the things that I'm really excited about this year is our plenary on Saturday morning. We started the plenary last year. It was a new thing. And this year we were just kind of like, what are we going to do? And what's that going to look like? And one of the things that we don't often have at our conference, which you do see at like the national conference and stuff, is a youth connection. And so we're actually going to be bringing in 4, potentially 5 campers, in different, you know, camp situations, and they're going to talk to us a little bit about their perspective on camp and what they think the future of camp, looks like. And who better to tell us about that than the kids that are fully immersed in what's going on? So I'm super excited about that, because we all do this job. I would say the majority of us do this job for that connection with kids. And so having that at the conference, I think, is going to be great. I'm also really excited about some things we've been alluding to, like the affinity spaces. We have 3 affinity spaces that are going to be out there this year. They're going to be available each of the days that we're at the conference. And we're really interested to see who's going to take advantage of that, what that's going to look like. It's our first year really putting this out there and doing it in a formal way. And we're doing it because people asked for it. Like, we're really responsive, and this was something we heard. And it's really part of that belonging piece, which, as Bud said, we've been spending a lot of time with, and really hope people walk away just feeling so great, you know, about the conference, energized and ready to go back to camp and create your own community of belonging at your camp.
I love that you brought up the young people first, and then Sarah, your turn for 2023, because I taught middle school for 7 years, and I taught incredibly gifted magnet program students in a Title I school. So half my time I was in the classroom, the other half I was in the dean's office. I was Dean Copeland, believe it or not. And I was Coach Bud, then I was Dean Copeland. But one of the things that I used to sit in a faculty meeting, and if I heard from teachers, and this is coming from the dean's side where I got to see a lot of students, you know, and I got both ends of the spectrum behaviorally between my classroom and the dean's office. But when I would hear teachers all talking about something, and, you know, we're all saying the kids don't get it, the kids don't get it, the kids don't get it. And then you hear from the kids and you hear that it's not that they don't get it. What we've been giving them bad data. And so how can we expect good data back if we're not giving them? So sometimes we have to hear from these young people, because if we've been pumping them with one thing and then they all show up and every single one of these people says, well, yeah, but I get all what you're saying, but I don't know. I don't feel like it's just not working. Okay. Well, then instead of berating them for not feeling what we're wanting them to feel, how can we adjust? And I'm not saying, some people would be like, oh, you have to just dumb down. That's not dumbing down. It's a feedback cycle. And that's what we're engaging in. And for too long, I think youth development programs, we do great work, we do wonderful work, but we do miss out on the feedback cycle. Every other business and industry has a mechanism built in.
Yeah. And how many times have you, like, has your boss been like, here's a Dunkin' Donuts $5 gift card. And you're like, that's cool, but what I was really asking for was this thing. Right. And so how many times have we all been in that situation where you're like, you're not listening. And so we're in a position now where we can listen, right? For conference, for professionals, but also at our own camps and our organizations, we can kind of give it back and flip the switch with it.
And to Terry's point about this year, this is absolutely, these affinity spaces are something new for us. And it's because people asked for them. So we set them up, and this is going to be one of those things. They could be a hit. They could fall flat on their face. They could be somewhere in the middle where it's like, okay, that was cool. Can we maybe do this next year? Sure.
Exactly.
Just go. I encourage everyone. And then Sarah, I am going to put you on the spot with something else this year. But I encourage everyone, whether you're going to our conference or anywhere else, or just leaving your house in the morning, curiosity, empathy, respect. If you carry those with you, it'll get you through whatever's in front of you, and it'll help you get to the next one. Because if you show up to one of those spaces, let's say the affinity space speaks to you, you walk in there and you're like, okay, this is the right place, but I don't like the conversation. That doesn't necessarily mean the affinity space was the problem, or there was a problem at all. Maybe the topic in the moment wasn't the one that you connected with. So just, again, time, curiosity, empathy. That's my big thing. Empathy. Try to at least put yourself there and go, huh, I can see where they're coming from, or, oh, I know why they want to do that. And if there's something else for you out there, we'll help you find it. But that's also a roundabout way of saying, we too, whether I'm speaking for ACA New England writ large, we appreciate feedback. We work for the members. People say, you know, what do you all want to see for the future? What do you want to see for the future? Hate to be Socratic on you, but honestly, that's kind of the, you know, we try to take as much data in as we can and be proactive for our membership. But when it comes to stuff like this, you all are doing yeoman's work, setting up this conference and making these adjustments and these changes and trying to be responsive while maintaining the core identity of what makes these conferences so special. All right. That was enough bloviating from you've struck a chord with me. I'm like getting super amped for conference season. Sarah, what is something else though this year? Cause I know there's more than the affinity spaces and the plenary. Is there anything else that's jumping out at you that you're like, keep this on the brain?
There's so much stuff that I'm psyched about, and I've been like trying to think through if I could just have to pick one, and I don't know if I can.
Then don't.
I think the two things that I'm thinking the most about are the first thing, which Terry talked about, is I think the conference committee, we've, and ACA and the board, and like all collectively have been talking so much about belonging, and there are so many people that come to our conference, and they've been coming for, you know, decades or for their first time, and you know, there's tons of experience and different kinds of camps. And what does that look like? And so I think that this conversation of belonging has been everywhere. And what I see from our volunteers right now is just this like super excitement to be present and available and ready to help people who are going to conference. And I know that seems so small, but I think it's huge because I think we talk so much about it at our camps of like on opening day, right? Like you have staff strategically placed who are like just schmoozing, they're excited, they're like, you know, gabbing, they're making the line shorter. And I'm excited for that buzz and that energy of just like, we're just happier here. Cause I think it feels big this year. And I think we usually do it well, but it feels big and I'm excited for that. So that's what I've been thinking a lot about. The thing that I'm probably something I'm real excited about is on Friday night, we used to have like this big dinner and award ceremony, right? Which was fun and awesome. And this year, we're mixing it up again. And we're going to have some, I think what we're calling it is multicultural night, but we're bringing all these local acts and performers and we have some dancers and drummers and I think some spoken word. And it's going to be this like really cool night in the armory where we have a lot of different folks coming in to kind of perform. We have some activities going on. There'll be some beverages to partake in. There'll be some, you know, probably some snacks. And I'm just excited for it. Like, I'm excited to like see some local performances, to talk to everyone who's at the conference and just have a really fun night together in the armory, hanging out, listening to good music. And I think it's going to be really cool.
I love you mentioned Friday night because traditionally, and this goes back to things that are foundational and things that are traditional. Traditionally, that Friday night was the annual meeting and the awards ceremony and a lot of official things. And when we took three steps back and we're like, well, why is that? And by the way, I'm not speaking for the conference committee. I'm just saying like our conversations in the office, it's kind of like, well, why is that? Well, let's think about it. For most of human history, that was the only time we had everybody together. That was the only time to kind of get everybody in one place to convey the information and celebrate. Well, we do an online annual meeting now, and we will recognize some of our awards in person, you know, in some facet, but the other stuff we're like, wait a minute, we can take that away from the conference, which the conference that can then continue to focus on camaraderie, belonging, educating, and take the business of the association and just move it over here. So be on the lookout for your annual meeting invites, you know, online later on this spring. Yeah. But that then frees us up to say, okay, now we still have this block of time that we can create something new. And I used to, when I was a teacher, the aforementioned teacher, I taught in a magnet program. It was in Gainesville, Florida. So a lot of my students were from the University of Florida. Their parents worked at the university. So I had a ton of international kids. I mean, you name a continent, we had one to save Antarctica. I always would get that, not Antarctica, stop, back off. But we had them from all around the world and we would do a multicultural, what do we call it? We call it an international day is what we call it. And we would shut down the hallway, five classrooms would turn into one from each continent. There were food, there was a room for dances and performances. And that's when y'all started talking about this. I was like getting so geeked for it because that's the kind of stuff where you do learn about things that honestly, you'll see something and go, oh, I saw that in this movie one time, or wait a minute, what's that noise? I heard that in a commercial. Or you'll just get mesmerized by something and it'll kind of make you go human Wikipedia, like what the fuck is that? So I'm very, very excited about that kind of activity that is so on brand for camp, but is not necessarily straight out of the camp playbook. You know what I mean? Like we're not just taking camp games with, there's nothing wrong with camp games, but we're not just saying, we're going to have an evening of fun, engaging educational activities that's focused on the moment. And I really appreciate that. So shouts to the committee for finding that kind of plug for that space. And once again, we're going to do it. It's going to be fun. And then we'll see what's next. We might do it again and again and again. We might say, hey, we should bring them back in a couple of years, but this opened our eyes to another idea. So the whole idea of making sure we keep that foundation of community, connection, belonging, growth, but injecting all this fresh stuff is what makes, I think, 2023 kind of last year was the 100th. We're coming out of this kind of COVID. I don't like using the word new, whatever's next. I always say, what's next? You know, we're coming, COVID, what's next? It's not over, but there is something next. So we got to keep moving. And I call it camping with COVID. I talked to a lot of camps. They're like, how do we explain to parents that we're making some adjustments, but we're not getting rid of it? I said, you're camping with it. And they're like, oh, that's true. But anyways, the conference this year is kind of like year one of 2.0 in my brain in some sort of weird way without having an official demarcation. So thank you all both so much. Cause I know just, it doesn't come off as easy as you're making it sound. It is a lot of hard work. And if you are curious, believe it or not, there's somebody else there with the same question as you and somebody else there who wants to connect. And so if you get lost, come to registration. I'll be there. These folks will be there from time to time. You'll see other committee members around and, you know, when
that's
in doubt,
what I would say is like, yeah, I think and if folks have like hung on to the end of this podcast, then like you're already hooked.
Everybody's there.
Right. Right. And so like, if you're even a little bit curious, just reach out. Like if you see me, it's not a huge conference, right? Like if you see me or Bud or Terry or anyone else, we'll have cool shirts on this year. And we're going to try really intentionally to make ourselves visible. Like just ask and we're there. And if you don't, maybe we'll come like find you a little bit, but like, even if you have a tiny inkling, I encourage you to just like set that forward and ask, because it's so worth it to get involved and to like see how this is going on and to be part of this conference.
And if you're Terry, not registered, let's get that done.
Let's go.
Yes.
The numbers are climbing, and I'm going to put a very quick plug in for emerging professionals in camping. Epic New England is also one of these kind of, it's a kindred group within ACA writ large, and it's relatively new to the New England region. And if you've known about it in other spots, we encourage you to drop by, because we are a little different. We're born out of the same mentality, but the group itself and the presence in New England has grown. And I only mention it here because it's grown because of the conference. You know, 3 years ago, 4 years ago, when the original crew said, hey, we want to kind of get this going here, the conference is like, sure, let's do it. And now it's growing from there, and there's representation.
But what's the criteria for being Epic? Like what
emerging professional. So that's beautiful. I'll give the quick spiel that I usually give the rest of the world. ACA writ large is focused on directors, stakeholders, decision makers, because that's who ultimately, I'll tell you from the membership desk, that's who we call when we say, hey, you're going to pay that bill. You're going to renew. I mean, that's the business side of it. Every single one of those decision makers has a team. They have a bunch of doers with them mostly. And a lot of those doers are the assistant directors, the program directors, or even those kind of seasonal staff that are part of your year-round team, right? They'll answer an email. They make a phone call. That's a community that we talked about how as camp directors, sometimes you look around and you're alone. Sometimes, believe it or not, your staff might look around and it's the same kind of thing. There's seven of us in this office, or there's two of us here. But I know there's others out there who are having the same conversations. They're facing the same kind of challenges, opportunities, questions. And so that's what Epic is. It's not necessarily an age-centric group. We use the word emerging because most people are in some sort of journey, but it's mostly about the functionality of what you do. So to the succinct version of that, Sarah, is sub-director level. That's kind of sub-director, and new director is usually who we engage with. We do have some folks who are like, man, it's my first year as a camp director, but I know all of these people, so I still do want to get their perspective. Yeah, please.
I was going to say, can I make one more plug too? I'm thinking about all these like,
God, yes, all of them. We're talking about conference stuff.
These veteran people who come around who like know each other and have been in New England forever. And you're like, man, they are so cool. How do I become them? We have these like emerging professionals. And then we have folks who have like just jumped into the industry, right? Like they're trying to figure this out. They're probably attending the conference for the first time. And so we have folks on the conference committee who are putting in a ton of work to create this awesome new attendee orientation. And we'll do like a Zoom ahead of the conference. And then at conference, there'll be touch points for new attendees or your first couple of years. And so if you are new, definitely tap into that and check it out, because it's being run by Luke and Latoya, who are great. They're awesome, awesome people. And they're really psyched to make this an easy transition. It's hard to start something new, and they're doing a really good job of, you know, putting themselves out there and getting new attendees to get involved and feel like they own it.
And your timing couldn't be much better, because Luke sits on the Epic committee. He's a committee member from Emerging Professionals in Camping. And so So Sarah, that's funny you should mention that though, because at our last Epic committee meeting, we were talking about that, like, you know, defining this kind of audience a little bit finer, because it's not necessarily first counselors. Yeah. A lot of times counselors, because then that's very few people just come out of the woodwork as assistant directors. It doesn't happen too often. But counselors that are kind of thinking, is this maybe my area? Epic is a great way for you to get that insight to maybe, is this a career? Is this something I want to chase after? And then after a few years of being Epic, you might join the committee. You might do something like that. And then that's actually what we're talking about right now, is how do we fill that gap between the seasoned individuals in camping, the Epics, and then there's this kind of membership in between. So continuing, like we talked about, to grow more groups, more belonging, more opportunity. And I don't mind ranting on about this for a second, because it all stems around the conference. The organization is an entity, it's a mechanism, but I would say the heartbeat is our membership. You thought I was gonna say the conference. Now the heartbeat is the conference. I would say our blood flow is the membership, but I didn't take AMP. So,
but I'm not a doctor.
I'm not a doctor, and I did not stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. Another old commercial shout out. All right, so we've got affinity spaces. We've got kindred groups. We've got a new Friday night. We got a new Thursday night. We got new attendee focus. We've got old attendee energy. We've got a lot of cool stuff. And last but certainly not least, we've got a great expo hall. Our expo hall, the folks that come to our expo hall are wildly personable, super passionate about not just camping writ large, New England camping. New England camping is a brand, and these folks recognize that. So no matter what. And also, if you like the price of your ticket and you don't want it to go up, or if you don't like the price of your ticket and you don't want it to go up, make sure you go help us out at the vendor hall, because that's a little bit of how the sausage is made, but that's how we are able to keep things accessible and affordable.
The vendors like give so much to this conference too. And I think New England in particular is so good about like getting vendors who are awesome and helpful for camps to partner with. And also vendors who are like putting on cool stuff during the conference and showcasing their stuff, and not in like a timeshare sort of way, but like in a really cool interactive way, so that you get to try it. Right. Like I want to like touch something or like try it out or see it before I go to it. And
a lot of our vendors actually are speakers as well. And, you know, have a full, 75 minutes of not selling their product, but taking those things that they've learned as vendors, you know, that is their really specific like niche, and sharing that with people in a really great way. And then you can go follow up with them in the vendor hall.
This is actually so exciting. I kind of want to do a live follow-up. Maybe we'll do a live show from the podcast. We'll sit down for 20 minutes with you all, or 15, and say, how's it going? Live update. Stay tuned for more. Last, but one more time, real quick, Sarah, Terry, thank you all so much. Terry with Camp Susan Curtis in Maine, not Susan B. Curtis, Susan Curtis in Maine, and Sarah with Camp Dakota back home in New Hampshire. I could just ramble on and say thank you a million more times, but instead what I'm going to do is I'm going to click this little button right here and wish you both the best. I can't wait to see you in Manchester, if not sooner.